L. Douglas Wilder, former governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, and he was just with us, just a fascinating interview. We did a brand new book out. And, of course, you can go to our website and our Facebook, and the book is there. And please, ladies and gentlemen, order it, read it, understand it, study it. But let me, and first of all, Governor, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Joe. But tell it, the name of the book is Son of Virginia.
Son of Virginia. Just your whole life is... is in there in your whole political career.
Right of kind.
And it is on our Facebook. Let me ask, let me get your this was the first debate. How did, just
first
your,
of all, can I back up and
yeah.
say I can well appreciate your exasperation at your last caller, because here you were trying to have an intelligent, informative conversation. And rather than the guy say, well, you know, no, I don't know, or just be quiet and fake it, he went on and volunteered ignorance, which absolutely exasperated not only you, but me. But keep on.
Well, I will keep on. Just and Sherry called me from because she's like sitting listening as an executive producer and said, you know, he just got caught. You know that there are other folk out there that don't know. Margaret Thatcher became Britain's Conservative Party leader in 1979, and by the way, was elected Prime Minister. She was the first woman to hold that position, and
that's
during
right.
her three terms, so you understand who Margaret Thatcher was. She cut welfare programs. She reduced trade union power.
Yes,
and she privatized a lot of industries. So
she did.
And Reagan loved her. Reagan,
right?
They were like peas in a pod.
Well, look, Jeb Bush even said during the Republican debate that if anyone's picture should be put on the $20 bill that we have now, that it should be Margaret Thatcher.
There you go. And now he knows. Now
yes.
he knows. what was your? This is the first Democratic debate. What was your initial thoughts as you watched it?
Several things. First of all, it was there were at least two people involved in the debate, and that would be Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. Poor Lincoln Chafee and Jim Webb. I was shocked. It's Jim Webb's almost stoic, almost military stance, standing, said, and then all of a sudden, I want to get in. And Martin O'Malley, unfortunately, is a nice guy, is a good man, but he has absolutely no record to run on. I think that Hillary, by all accounts, from other persons, won the debate. But the issue really is, what are the issues that you're going to run on? I think Anderson, when he started it off by asking the initial questions about changing with the wind and how can we count on your sticking to it, I thought it was amazing how she justified her opposition to the Pacific Track Trade Pact, by saying, well, you know, even though I've talked about it and said all these things, it didn't meet my standards. Well, the president's standards are what you were supporting or not supporting.
Uh-huh.
And yet, one of the things that hit me throughout the entire debate, every time, Joe, she had an occasion, she would say, but I'll be the first woman to be president of the United States. And she said that so much so that you would have thought that that connoted or brought some degree of connotation, that people would understand that women think differently or they act differently or they bring something. If Barack Obama had said when he was running that I'll be the first black person running, or if I said when I was running for governor, they would have run both of us out of the country. And she's going to have to change that.
Mm. Because you did not, in your book, A Son of Virginia, you sat here in our interview and said that that was not going to be the way to campaign in Virginia.
Precisely.
Yeah,
and I don't think it's the way to campaign for minorities, and I conclude in this instance, political minorities, women.
Mm-hmm.
You don't run to say, I want to be the first woman or the second woman. I think one of the things that hurt Anthony Brown in Maryland, when he was running for governor, somebody had convinced him to say, hey, look, let's make history by making Maryland having a black governor. What does history got to do with the price of tea in China.
That's the point. Now, that goes back to something else that kept coming up in this debate, and I thought about you as I heard over and over again. Money. Money.
Yes.
Money. Money. Now, I'm simplifying.
Because, you know, we talked about it, Joe.
Yeah.
And even when we went to breakfast afterwards, that you had traveled and were so kind to carry us to. We talked about it. I teach it in my class. And I say to my students, you name me any circumstance or situation politically that doesn't involve money, and I'll debate you till daybreak in the morning. And they sometimes start debating, and then before the semester is over, everything they say involves money. And you're absolutely right. Last night's debate, I don't care how you cut it, money,
mm-hmm.
money, money.
Yeah,
Who is in a position to handle it? Bernie Sanders' entire campaign is based on money.
Money, right.
Not spending money, but how money is being spent. Hillary speaks well about what she has done for her 25-year period of time, but when you have to say, put it down so I can examine it and let me look at it, that's something different. And then when you, as the others, as I said, I won't even go into the others because they were not there. And I think it's going to be, my prediction, Joe, is that Hillary will be the nominee and that Jeb Bush will be pushing Rubio, pushing him so hard, it'll be between one of the two of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing that the Democrats have going for them, and Hillary in particular, would be the Republicans, because they clearly do not have their act together.
Now, Chaffee, I said this morning, I just think that he's not going to get any more financial support.
He's a smart man. I know him. His father and I served as governors at the same time.
Okay.
His father was governor of Rhode Island.
All right.
And I know Lincoln, but he came across very, very low-key last night and without proposing what I would call solutions and meaningful solutions to the problems confronting America today. You and I had this discussion. The political system in our nation is so dysfunctional that any numbers of people are saying, where is that voice for the people, and who is speaking for the people?
And isn't that what's why Sanders is catching on?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
And the unfortunate thing for him is that by his being branded a socialist, that connotation in America doesn't sell well.
Right, right.
And yet I've known Bernie. He was a socialist when he was the mayor of Montpelier in Vermont. And he's a very smart man. He's not to be taken for granted nor taken lightly. And Hillary will have to deal with that. The other thing is that vote that you and I know that is absolutely important for the progress of Americans of color, that vote is not to be taken for granted. And the real question is, if you and I, as we listened to that debate last night, we heard the general themes about certain things, and Bernie really spoke a bit more articulately than the others as to what he would do in the minority communities. That needs to be understood, and people need to know that as we go forth, both parties have to understand that race is still the 400-pound elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It's gorilla, not elephant.
Yeah, right, 400-pound. Right. And finally, if you had to dismiss, well, let me go back to your fellow Virginian. And you know Webb. Webb knows you very well.
He's a good man.
Well.
I like him.
Yeah, and what
helped him get elected?
Well, okay. So, but you don't think he's ready for the presidency?
I don't think he has committed himself with the time and the energies that would be required to run a national campaign. And because you can't do it part-time, as I found out, you can't do it low-key, and you've got to raise money. We get back to that question. And he has not made the commitment to any of those three things.
Hmm.
I like him.
Yeah.
But look how he had to fight to be heard. Now, if Joe Madison or Doug Wilde had been on that stage last evening, there is no way we would have had to fight that hard to be heard. They would have known from the beginning, It's going to be equal and fair around here. And if somebody has to mention a name to be heard, then I'm going to mention mine quite a bit.
Let me let you go on that one. The book is Son of Virginia. And again, it's on our website and on our Facebook. And let me tell you, it is a fascinating read. Because I always tell people, before there was the first African-American or black president, there was the first governor elected, African-American governor elected after Reconstruction, and what he went through and where he came from. See, this is why these books are so important, and I'm very...
Well, you're mighty kind, Joe.
No, I'm glad you put it down in writing, yeah.
And you're going... Thank you for agreeing to participate in our symposium that we're having this week in Virginia Commonwealth University.
I'm looking forward to it.
And American Society. Joe, we look forward and thank you for coming to be with us. And I'm hoping that it'll be airing sufficiently for your audience to hear the results of what
we're trying to work out the details. Tell your people to get me the information so I can book my train up there now.
We will get everything to you.
All right, then.
Thanks again.
Governor Doug Wilder, thank you. Yeah.